What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
On April 18th, 2020, San Leandro police officer Jason Fletcher murdered 33-year-old Stephen Taylor while Stephen was in the midst of a mental health crisis in a Walmart. Then District Attorney Nancy O'Malley was forced to charge Fletcher, the first cop she had ever charged and the last cop she would ever charge in her entire tenure. She didn't do this because she was on the right side of moral history, but rather she was forced to by a law. A statewide coalition that included the organization I co-founded and am the executive director of, the Anti-Police Terror Project, got passed. That bill is Assembly Bill 392. This landmark law, which took effect in January of 2020, changed the legal standard for police use of deadly force from reasonable to necessary. That just means that they could no longer just say, oh, I feared for my life, right, and get away with it. Massive community response initiated by APTP and led by Stephen's grandmother, Addie Kitchen, has resulted in a five-year fight for justice. Today, Grandma Addie, as she is lovingly known to community, is facing the possibility of charges being dropped by the new establishment-picked Law & Order DA, Ursula Dixon-Jones. Joining us to discuss is Addie Kitchen, Stephen's grandmother. Good morning, Mama Addie.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing all right, all things considered. How are you?
With all things considered, I'm well. Thank you so much for asking.
Thank you for being here, Mama Addie. I actually want to start our conversation by playing. You're so powerful. You're just so powerful. And so I want people to hear a little bit of your power. So we're going to start by playing a clip of you speaking in the APTP series, Say Their Name. Let's roll that tape, Kirsten.
My name is Addie Kitchen. I'm Stephen Taylor's grandmother. I raised Stephen from the time he was about eight. Stayed with me until he was about 22 or 23. The only difference that me not being his mom is that I didn't birth him, but I raised him, and he knew how much I loved him. I think when he got to about the fourth grade, we realized that he was ADHD. So that was his real big issue all the way through high school, was focusing. But he really wasn't a bad kid. He didn't fight. The guy was very, very bright. He could look at something and fix it. His mother came back into his life, and they lived together. And I think that's where the breakdown came, because she was still using drugs, and he was using drugs, and it just didn't work out. Probably by the time he was 30, he became homeless because he couldn't live with me because he was using drugs. His mom had got into a program, and I begged him, you know, Stephen, please get yourself in a program so that I can help you if you want my help. He says, I don't need your help. I'm not asking you for your help. I love you, Granny, but this is my life. The picture that they sent me with him bleeding to death on this dirty floor in Walmart by himself was more than I could even imagine, and I try to wash it out of my brain, but it's still there. I still see it. I have problems sleeping at night. I have problems eating. I have my good days and my bad days. I have black days and light days. Sometimes it's just overwhelming to believe that police would shoot him or any other human being like that. And I keep saying, being black, being homeless, being having mental issues, is that a reason to execute someone? I mean, is that what we do to people? Do we murder people because they're homeless, because they're black? That's exactly what happened.
That is the voice of Grandma Addie. I call her Mama Addie, Addie Kitchen, the grandmother of Stephen Taylor, who is fatally shot by now retired San Leandro police officer Jason Fletcher. The incident happened in a Walmart in April of 2020. Grandma Addie not only has spent the last 5 years fighting for, I hate the word justice. I need a new word, because the only justice would be if Stephen came back. The only justice is if the loved ones come back. But accountability. I'm fighting for accountability, not just in her case, but for the cases of all of the family members she comes in contact with. Grandma Addie, what was the pathway to getting Jason Fletcher charged? How long did that take? What was that fight like?
Stephen was murdered in April of 2020, and I believe by September 2020, O'Malley charged Jason Fletcher. We have an organization called Justice for Stephen Taylor. These are all young people that went to school with him. He went to San Leandro High. His brothers went to San Leandro High. A lot of them didn't know Stephen, but they knew his brothers. And so we protested. We went to city council meetings. The community supported us, and I was really surprised because if anybody that lives in the Bay Area knows anything about San Leandro, one of the most racist cities in America. But the community was behind us. They continue to support us. And being Black in San Leandro and having the community behind us was surprising. But I appreciate the support. And we still are fighting. Like you said, it's not justice, because just us is not for people of color. But we still, we're still fighting. 5 years, 5 months, three ADAs. I couldn't, three, at least three, maybe more, been on this case for over 5 years, and we still do not have a court date. It's like we stood still in time. So we're not going to give up.
Okay. Well, first I want to go back to April of 2020. I'm not surprised that the community supported you. You know, I've been in, led, called for, I don't even know how many rallies at this point over the last 20 years. We were in the middle of COVID. Everything was shut down when Stephen was murdered. And so we called a car caravan. And I think that that car caravan was almost as big as the car caravan for the established King Day march that we turned into a car caravan. Like, there were so many cars. And I remember driving through San Leandro, and a lot of times here in Oakland, right, like, people will be nasty, but the support that day from people on the street responding to the signs was not normal for what we normally see. So it's almost like from jump, folks in San Leandro, for whatever reason, were appalled by what Jason had done to Stephen.
I was overwhelmed when I saw the caravan. I could not believe. It was just hard to believe that many people would have got out and supported and raised all kind of ruckus behind the murder of my grandson. This was my first experience. I mean, I saw all of the horrific murders by law enforcement, but if it doesn't knock at your door, you see it, you hear it, you try to understand it, but I go to sleep at night and I don't have nightmares, because it didn't knock on my door. And then when it knocked on my door is when I really understood and felt how so many other parents have felt when this happened to them. And I tell you, I am so grateful for APTP, because from that day to till today, APTP has held my arms up and love me so much. And I appreciate it.
It's okay, Grandma Addie. You take your time. You cry. This is your time. You've done this with me before. You know, this is about you and ensuring that people continue to say Stephen's name. And I just want to, I get to be the face of APTP, but I got to shout out the team, right? Derek and Annie and James. I want you, when you have a breath, I feel a little ignorant, because I feel like the team has responded to multiple calls to go to court. But what I just heard you say was, there's not a court date. So what have the shenanigans been over the last 4 years?
The shenanigans have continued on. Yes, Stephen was murdered during the COVID. We didn't get much traction. Our first court date was in Dublin. We were there. Our last court date has been in Oakland. And we have a court date scheduled for Friday the 12th. My understanding is from what the ADA Bates is saying is that this would be the date that Judge Reardon will decide if Alameda DA's office is going to get the case or is it going to go to the Attorney General's office. And this is because of the recusal of the whole district attorney's office under Pamela Price. And this has been a long, hard fight. It's just hard to believe that it's taken 5 years for somebody to say, it's time, let's get this done. And it still has not been said, that's not been said yet. So this is what we will be going to court for, I assume, on Friday. And we assume Raines is going to ask for a dismissal because of the shenanigans that have occurred, or so they say have occurred, out of Pamela Price's office. They continue to blame. They continue to blame Pamela Price for any and everything. So,
unfortunately for them, there's a video. Like we all saw the video. We also know that Stephen dropped the bat before he was shot, and we know that it was a matter of seconds. So I don't know what any of that has to do with Pamela. And for my folks who don't know who Raines is, Michael Raines is the devil. I am a biased journalist, so I can say that on the show. I can't stand that man. 20 years with that dude already. He defends killer cops. That's what he does. And he's paid well by the Police Officers Association who keeps screaming at cops ain't got no money to defend murderers. Grandma Eddie, I've got to move on to my next segment. So tomorrow... tomorrow there's another court day.
Yes.
That's the sort of D-Day, right?
We hope and pray that tomorrow is a D-Day, that they will make a decision one way or the other and move on from there. And again, I might be back on your show and still complain because they're still playing their little just us game. I don't have any other word for it, but that's just what it is. And it's not just us people of color. That's not what I'm talking about.
That's right.
So we shall see.
So tomorrow, September 12th, 8 a.m., the Renee C. Davidson Courthouse in Oakland, there will be a rally. And then we're going to file in. People are going to file in to the courtroom. We're going to see what happens. You said one way or the other. I hope for their sake is the one way, the right way. That's my prayer for those people this morning.
I'm praying with you, Kat. Thank you so much. I love you.
I love you.
I'm thank you that you and APTP has supported me. I don't think I could do this walk without you. So again, thank you for the support that you show me and all of the impacted families. We love you and we appreciate you.
Till the wheels fall off, Grandma Addie. I love you.
Hey, girl, I love you. All right. You have a blessed day.
You too, Grandma Addie.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.